This is JimPinto.com e-news number 275, the 20th of November, 2009. This e-news is read by JimPinto's text-to-speech robot Jimbo, or Jimbot, if you prefer. As usual, there are 5 items, and 3 feedbacks in this issue of e-news. Item 1. Wither ISA. ISA has a problem. In spite of the new international, in its name, no major new expansions have been accomplished anywhere in the world. With about 30% revenue shrinkage, annual ISA Expo and InTech magazine advertising, it has reduced staff and outsourced key activities. Like any profit-making corporation, it's pulling in its horns. A couple of decades ago, the annual ISA Expo was the premier automation show in North America, with about 60,000 attendees. By contrast, attendance at ISA Expo 2009 was only about 8,500. From a strategic standpoint, the ISA Expo should have been moved to a major international location in collaboration with local organizers, who would be happy to use the ISA name. To save ISA, radical changes are needed. Here are my suggestions. 1. The executive committee must be chartered to operate with functions similar to directors of a corporate board, setting policy and direction, but not making management decisions. 2. Standards development is the sweet spot which must be expanded internationally. 3. ISA should be international to match its name. ISA needs a jolt of excitement. We need blogging and tweeting, automation Facebooks and YouTube videos, iPhone apps, and automation-related podcasts. By default, these functions are being usurped by social connection sites like LinkedIn and Plaxo. Wither ISA. If the governance conundrum cannot be solved, the society will surely fizzle. Left to dangle on its current path, it will slowly but surely wither away. Item 2. The importance of manufacturing. During the past century, America became the richest nation in the world through its manufacturing prowess. Today, automation has significantly reduced the labor content in manufactured goods, and many manufacturing jobs have been shipped offshore. Manufacturing employment has now fallen below 12 million jobs, below 9% of total employment, the lowest level ever recorded. After dominating global industrial activity for a century, America is steadily losing its edge in manufacturing. Over the last 30 years, manufacturing has fallen from 25% to about 12% of the U.S. domestic economy, while the share of manufactured goods consumed in America, but produced outside, has risen from about 10% to 30%. America doesn't produce things found in retail outlets, sporting goods, toys, tools, and clothing. Instead, it makes pharmaceuticals, specialty chemicals, sophisticated textiles, airplane parts, and other upscale products. The decline of U.S. manufacturing is reflected in record trade deficits and the loss of over 40,000 manufacturing jobs every month during this decade. American production is also shrinking rapidly in global industries like electronics, steel, autos, chemicals, and shipbuilding. About 40,000 U.S. manufacturing plants closed between 2001 and 2008, resulting in the loss of millions of good-paying jobs. Offshoring of production means that the U.S. is not generating enough wealth to pay its mounting and massive debts. America has stopped producing what it consumes. The hoped-for increase in consumer demand will not materialize because American workers are unemployed in record numbers and cannot consume. Adding to their burden, banks are boosting credit charges and late fees to recoup their losses which came from previous excess. Does an economy that doesn't produce anything have a near real value anymore? Has made in the USA become an outdated label? Key manufacturing leaders will meet to answer these questions during a CNBC program, The Future of Manufacturing, which will air on December 2, 2009. I invite you to watch it. Item 3. Cloud computing, easy entry, no exit. Amazon, Google, and Microsoft are investing heavily to make computing just, like electricity, something that you simply plug into via the internet. It's supposed to be the next big thing. The basic idea behind cloud computing is sound, Why should businesses buy hardware when they could use online computing power and storage? Why buy software with support and upgrades when you can simply use SaaS, software as a service, via the cloud? Before you make the switch, consider a couple of problems. 1. Virtual machines are file factory spawning new versions and backups which will be hard to track and don't meet many companies' confidentiality requirements. 2. The cloud is still largely a one-way road into web services. Closed data networks makes it difficult to move data into competing services. This is cause for concern. Customers seem to be moving happily into cloud services without yet wondering what will happen when they want to move their files and services. Perhaps this makes cloud computing the Hotel California of technology. You can enter, but you can never leave. Item 4. Incentives inhibit creativity. In his pivotal book, A Whole New Mind, Why Right-Brainers Will Rule the Future, Daniel Pink identifies the shift corporate culture must make from logical, information-based left-brain jobs to conceptual, creative right-brained work, where creativity and conceptual design dominate the landscape. Daniel cites numerous scientific studies, all showing that incentives actually inhibit creative problem-solving. The nature of creative work, non-routine, artistic, empathic big picture, requires intrinsic motivation to achieve good results. The elements of intrinsic creative motivation are autonomy, the urge to be self-directed, mastery, the desire to do better at something meaningful, purpose, the yearning to work at something larger than ourselves. If Daniel is right, and he's sure he is, citing numerous studies that all point to the same conclusion, then it blows away all traditional ideas about rewards and incentives. In a nutshell, rewards work for tasks where thinking is not needed. As soon as any kind of creative thinking is required, rewards stop working and even inhibit results. It's interesting to note that at companies like Google, employees are encouraged to spend 20% of their time on their own creative projects. Indeed, some very productive ideas were born this way. When I worked at Action Instruments, something that proved very productive for me personally was to spend every Friday afternoon following projects and ideas which I didn't have time for otherwise. I must tell you, many of my best ideas were born this way. Item 5. Capitalism breeds fascism and oligarchy. Lately, I've been writing about the corruption of capitalism. It turns out that my worries are not new. Many others, including our American founding fathers, also raised similar concerns. The early 20th century Italians invented the word fascism, the political ideology that seeks to combine radical and authoritarian nationalism with a corporatist economic system. We Americans keenly identify the opposite of fascism, namely, government intrusion into and control of private enterprise. But we seem to ignore completely the usurpation of government by big business. That's the danger we face. The number of registered lobbyists in Washington has more than doubled since the year 2000 to about 50,000 today. Just think, about 100 lobbyists for each and every senator and member of Congress. These people are highly paid, with nothing else to do but bribe our political leaders to support the programs they sell. And this is free enterprise. Our America is a corporate oligarchy disguised as representative democracy. There are not two political parties, they're just two groups preaching different views of the same thing. It's a two-party dictatorship financed by corporate fascism. In America, the land of capitalism and freedom, oligarchy and fascism not only exist, they thrive. As usual, there are three feedbacks in this issue of E-News. Feedback 1. Merle Borg expands on Tom Beebe's suggestions to fix the ailments caused by the corruption of capitalism. Merle writes, "All of our problems stem from two things. The undue and covert influence of special interests and the ability of government to spend money it doesn't have. Our tax codes have been massaged by special interests so much that it works against our general prosperity at every level. Our military-industrial complex requires armed conflict to exist. Contributions to our leaders from this group are why we find ourselves always at war and hated around the world. Now our potential is being severely limited by a government that can be bought or manipulated behind closed doors, and a government that can spend more than it collects. No other country is closer to the perfection of our constitution, but until we address more common sense reforms, our future will remain stunted. Feedback to Sujit Desh Pandey from India comments on the continued ISA meltdown. He writes, "As a non-US automation professional, the decline of ISA comes as no surprise at all. This is an excellent example of the fate which awaits those organizations which fail to adapt themselves to the change in global environments of today. ISA started as an organization for US automation professionals and could never globalize itself. This, I think, is a major part of its problems. Decline in US manufacturing has only made the problems worse. For the past 16-plus years of my professional life in industrial automation, I kept debating whether I should join ISA. Where was the value and place for somebody like me to join the organization? What would I get out of my membership apart from receiving the journals, getting access to standards, and some small discount on the books? I do not feel sad at the decline of ISA. I do feel sorry for the fact that even after many decades of progress in automation and control, we do not have a more global organization to take its place." Feedback 3. The irrepressible Jake Brodsky expounds on capitalism and complexity. Jake comments, "Jim, the problem is more than just cronies and crooks, it is complexity. People are bewildered by a blizzard of bizarre financial instruments. Salespeople see opportunity and take advantage of it. Often even they don't fully understand what they're selling or what the implications of the sale might be. The limit we are bumping into everywhere is complexity. This is why safety is getting more difficult. This is why computer security is hard. This is why lawyers are making more money than ever before. This is why we have people getting master's degrees on subjects as obtuse as medical billing. This is why journalism is so poorly regarded. The journalists themselves frequently do not understand what they're writing about. We have reached a point where the public simply can't keep up with the totality of complex daily life. Something has to give. I wonder if it will be with a bang. Or a whimper." Well, that's this issue of e-news. Please send us your feedback. Tell Jim how you like me, his Jimbot text-to-speech robot. Send your email to jim@jimpinro.com. Thank you.